Today we're going to look into, back actually to the end of the chapter in 2 Samuel. I said 1 Samuel, but it's actually 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. We were talking last week about David, and we talked about the fact that we talked about the new cart religion, where David was going to move the ark up, and he decided, you know, what would be the cool thing to do to move the ark up and what he was going to do, but he hadn't followed the word of God. We really talked about that fact. It is so important that we understand that as Christians about acting in line with the word of God, what we need to do there is find out what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. And God had prescribed a way that the ark was supposed to be moved. David didn't do it, and someone was handling the ark who should not have been handling the ark. And so we found out by going over into Chronicles what was said about happened there. The fact of it is David found out then that he was supposed to use the Levites for the ones who were supposed to handle the ark and carry it. And we discussed and went into a number of things because many things today bring into religion and bring into things that are man's ideas and are man's plans, and it's follow the Word of God. Follow what the Bible says. What the Bible says God wants, that's what you want to do, because the blessing is in following the Word. The Holy Spirit backs up the Word of God. He does not back up the plans of men. That's not what he does. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to us. It doesn't say he takes what I want or what I want to do, and then he'll get behind that. No, he wants us to get behind the Word of God and walk in the light of the Word of God. Then he manifests the Word to us. Now, there's a few things I wanted to talk about here this morning in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to start actually from verse 12. Concerning David, when they begin to move the ark, it says in verse 12, it says, now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. No, hold it. I'm at the wrong one here. I'll read down through here, because let's read now. We talked some of this. He said, in verse 13 says, so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. It says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. I want to say here something, because we find the Levites carried the ark of God, and I want to say this, because men carried the ark, in other words, men carried the presence of God. And that's what that represented. It was a representation, because today, now we have it over on the spiritual side, we're the ones who carry God's presence. We're the temples of the Holy Ghost. You carry the presence of God in you. See, they had a type and shadow of it, of the Levites. There was one, the Levites were part of the families of the priesthood, and so only the priest, that's why the New Testament calls us priests and kings, because dealing with the areas of our authority, plus we're the ones that really worship God, because the Bible tells Jesus said God's looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we're the worshipers of God. We're the priests of God. We're the one that worship God like God God wants us to. The church is the only group that can do it. It doesn't mean all the church does it, because a lot of the church world doesn't worship God to the standard that God has established. Most of the church world does not live like God indwells them. Most of the church world lives like God is just as much out there somewhere as they did in the Old Covenant. In fact, in the Old Covenant, the Jews at least that believed where the presence of God was. A lot of the church world ain't got a clue where he's at. But he's in us. And so, see, they carried it. And it says, now I want you to see something here, because it says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing linen ephod. It says, David danced before the Lord. It says he did it with all his might. David didn't dance in the spirit. David danced before the Lord, and David did it with all his might. David was not operating in the spirit. David was a man. I understand that was what their worship and religion. What David did, and see, if we go to Old Testament worship, is worshiping God in the flesh. That's what it was. They couldn't worship God in the spirit. If they could, then Jesus told us a lie. Because Jesus said this. Jesus spoke to the woman at Samaria. He said, now's the time. You know, she said, are they right worshiping in Samaria like we do, or the Jews up here at their temple? He said, right now is the time. He says, God is looking for those to worship Him in what? In spirit and truth. So we know this for a fact. The worship in the temple was not spiritual worship. It was not spiritual worship. They couldn't worship God in the spirit. They were not born again. They couldn't do it. Their nature was death. What they did was things in the natural that represented things in the spirit. What you and I, we need to do, God teaches us through the spirit what the spiritual things are to do, what these things represented that we do. See, it's like people today, they take things from the old covenant, bring it over and use it into worship. Now, if we are supposed to do that, then we need to get the ark again. In other words, we ain't going to be able to do the worship. You know, you can't bring some of the physical, fleshly worship over and start to do these things. In fact, I find there's many things that don't. I knew, like the things I'd said last week, people using flags. I've read in the Old Testament, I've never seen any place in the temple they use flags for anything in worship. See, the Bible talks about banners and things and stuff like that. They weren't used for worship. They represent them, but they didn't use them for worship. It wasn't worship to God. In fact, we find when David, the Bible says that God was going to restore the tabernacle of David, and what's what David's temple, tabernacle represented. It represented worship before God. What it was, David had singers and people and instruments and singers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there was worship, singing and worship before God going on. It was singing and stuff. It wasn't people waving flags. It was singers singing 24 hours a day. In other words, worship to God. David's tabernacle represented a worship. We worship God from the Spirit. In other words, God was representing the fact He was going to bring worship back to the church. In the future, the true worship comes. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said God's looking for those, and the ones that were going to be doing that is the church. They were the ones who are going to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. David's dance here before the Lord. David did it with all his might. It don't say David did it in the spirit. He did it with all his might. David did what he, now that doesn't make David wrong under his covenant. But you don't do what David did. We don't dance. There is a dance, but it's in the spirit. It is not what they did. See, under their covenant, Israel's covenant was based upon performance. You wanted blessed, you did something. You had to do things. Our covenant is not like that. Our covenant is based on God has blessed us. We're born again children. We do what we do because of the love of God. It's because we believe God. You know, it's like we sing in Sunday. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And we sing in songs, God said yes, and I know that I'm blessed. We're singing, I am blessed. And then people today, and they'll turn right around and go ask God to bless them. Well, they'll start asking God, talking to God like God hasn't blessed them. Oh, God, I'm going to go, would you bless me? I'm going to go do, we sing songs, I am blessed, and then go pray prayers that we're not. We're trying to get it. There's a great confusion in the church. There's a big confusion. No, we pray in God, we claim and receive blessing. We say, praise God, God, I want to thank you for blessing me. I want to thank you that your hand's on me. Not, God, would you put your hand on me? God, would you do this? That's acting like He hasn't agreed to do it. He's already agreed. He's already put it out there. It's ours. So live and talk and walk like that. Walk like God's blessing you. Like it's true. So David's operation over here, the things that he's doing is not in the spirit, but it's in the flesh. David is dancing with all his might before the Lord. In other words, this is an act of David. So we need to understand the difference between the two. Sometimes the anointing of God comes and sometimes it rises up inside in the inner man, not in the flesh. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about having a feeling. It ain't a feeling. You know, people say, well, I feel God or I felt this. You could have a feeling in something, but you can't be moved by the feeling. You must be moved by truth or what's right. Because you could have a good feeling and do the wrong thing. Did you ever do that? You had a feeling about something was all right and then you did it and it wasn't all right? Did you ever do that? Huh? Why? Feelings ain't a... They're not a good standard to do things by. And we've all done those things. Every one of us have done it. So, you know, we ain't going to throw rocks. We're not going to get the bag of stones out. Because everybody's done that. Because feelings are not a good judge of things, you know. Feeling right about something is not a good judge. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling the story about a very successful Christian businessman. And he told Kenneth Hagin, I've never lost one penny ever in an investment. But he said, I have never invested into anything that I haven't taken time out to pray and spend time before God to find out whether I should do it or not. He said, I've always taken time. And he said, it's always been interesting. He said, so many times I thought things would be a good investment, but after I prayed, the Lord told me, don't do that. And he said, then I'd find out stuff that would go wrong. I mean, I want you to think about it. Look at all these people who invested in Facebook. Loads of wealthy people have lost billions of dollars in investment in a company that I knew. You can ask Wanda. I've told Wanda and I told other people. People going to invest in this thing are going to lose money. This thing ain't what it appears to be. It's going to lose money. And people did it. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. Don't come and ask me about stock. I don't understand how a lot of it runs. I know it's insane. I do know that. I know a lot of even the money that people make, it's not because of any kind of logical, good business standpoint. There's a lot of scheming and stuff and things that go on. It's a lot of emotion. Stocks go up and down by people's feelings more than it does by economy. You know, we have all these reports about how bad the economy is. The government keeps telling us how bad the economy is. The stock market's going up. How could the stock market be going up when business is going down? Because most of it's false. Most of the investment and all this is false. It's people emotionally buying and doing things. And there's also a lot of manipulation going on in those things. But this, it's good to pray and ask God. It's good to ask God when you're going to do something. Well, this man came along. He said, there's investments that I thought wouldn't be a smart thing to do. But he said, I had a sense, go pray about it. He said, I prayed, the Lord told me to do it. He said, man, I made money off the thing. And he said, so you can't go by what's in the natural or how things look. So you want to find out. It's one thing about it. The Holy Spirit, you know, and we need to know this as Christians. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to show you things to come. You don't ever have to make a bad investment. The Holy Spirit knows how things are going to turn out. He knows the outcome. He knows. So wouldn't it be wise to ask him what the future of something is before you invest in it? Wouldn't that be wise to do? But people don't do that. What they'll go? They'll first go read all the stock reports. They'll go ask the guys who are the professionals. Well, I want you to think about that. The majority of the professionals are always wrong. Always wrong. We would never have a stock market crash if they were mostly right. We'd never have one. They're mostly wrong. Why do most people end up losing money when they turn around and have the crashes? Because they're mostly wrong. I mean, think about it. This is actual facts. I mean, this is not hearsay. This is fact. They've run studies on investment. They have actually, seriously, this is serious. They've done it. Using a monkey, I forget what zoo it is, they have this monkey. And they've done this thing for years. They've done this. This monkey picks stocks. This monkey. They'll give him a Wall Street, you know, journal. They'll give him the stock market section. And you know what he does? He'll just pinpoint something in the market. He has been more successful at picking stocks than Wall Street does. Now, a monkey. This, they have proved, and they've done this a number of times. I've read the studies that were done. They take kids, like first, second, third grade. They pick stocks better than the professionals. Every time. They have done these, they do these things all the time. They run these studies probably every year. It always turns out the same. They just give kids a paper, ask them to pick something. They're more accurate than Wall Street is on stone. And you know what they're telling? Oh, get out here. You pay this guy money to invest your stuff, and a kid and a monkey are doing better. But we can see that. We wouldn't have stock market crashes. There would never be a stock market crash if people understood what was going to happen or making right investments. There would never be a crash. Crashes come because big investments made wrong stuff and people's money are behind it. It's the wrong thing. That's why it happens. So, listen to the Spirit, folks. I'm just, you know, encourage you. Don't do stuff just from the natural, especially in this day and time. It's like the Lord told me, you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you won't amount to anything as a Christian. Why? Because God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It operates off of spiritual law. It don't operate off physical laws. It operates off of wisdom. Wisdom is about knowing to do the right thing. What to do. So we want to live. Well, David, and I just wanted to say those things. But David here is dancing before the Lord. And it's interesting because it says David's wearing a linen ephod. It says, it goes on here in David, in verse 15 of 2 Samuel, it says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sounds of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord, set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to every one a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his own house. Now, I want to say this about David because it says he wears wearing a linen ephod. Because of what we're going to find out next, in the next part of it here, what it says. But David wore a linen ephod. In other words, David wore his linen undergarment. In other words, you know, I guess we'd say in our society, it'd be like, you know, a person. Now, you'd be more, his linen ephod would be more covering than, like, say, you're wearing a pair of jockey shorts and a t-shirt or, you know, a woman wearing her panties, or it would be maybe like a little bit longer, maybe than most women wear, say like in a nightgown or something, probably down over his knees, and it was made of linen, and they wore that underneath. Then you'd wear your other garments would be worn out over that, is what it'd be. David was wearing his linen ephod. Now he wouldn't be exposed at all, but he's wearing a linen ephod. He doesn't have on any of his kingly stuff or any. He doesn't have on his. His military stuff he wore, he does not wearing that. And one of the reasons, I believe, and I believe I'm right about it, when David brought up the ark, David's not bringing up the ark as being king. He's bringing up the ark, God's king. I believe David, really, this is a form of worship before God. David's humbled himself before God. He's not presenting himself as a king before God. You know, we need to understand this, and you need to have, this is one of the things that I think sometimes people get a haughtiness sometimes. We're kings and priests, but you don't go to God acting like you're a king and a priest. You can have a wrong spirit about that. When we go to God, the only reason we're kings and priests is because He made us that. You didn't get to be a king and priest based upon any achievement you've done. We got that strictly by faith. So when we go before God, we go as He's the king. And really, that's what David's doing. He's not magnifying himself or his position at all. In fact, David's really is acting in a place of humility before God by doing this. He's recognizing really is the fact that he is not king because of who he is. In other words, God, I'm recognizing you're the guy that's the top. You're the top. And really, it's a form of worship. We can learn from this in our attitude because, you know, We can come boldly to the throne of grace, but I don't come boldly to the throne of grace because I'm anything or I've achieved anything. I'm allowed to come boldly to the throne of grace because I'm a child of God, and God said, you're allowed to do it. So I'm only doing it on His basis of what He's done for me. And we need to keep that attitude when we come into the presence of God. You have the right to ask anything in His name, in the name of Jesus, when you pray. You have every right to do that. But I don't have that right based upon my achievements. I have that right because the Bible declares it's my right. And I can do it, but I come before God and I treat God in a manner that He's God. The church has lost that. The church don't treat God like He's God. They treat God like He's Santa Claus or He's somebody just to see that stuff gets done. And we lose true worship. Many people don't, sometimes I don't like the way that that sometimes I hear people talk. We go before worship, we worship God, and if I, worship God, then He'll do anything for me. He already stated He'd do anything for me. I'm not going to worship Him on the basis of trying to get Him to do something. We don't worship God to try to get Him to bless us. We are blessed. We worship Him because we believe we're blessed. I worship Him because I believe He answered my prayer. I don't worship Him as a show-off to try to get Him to do something for me. We're not doing that. And see, David really is acting in an area of faith toward God. And that's what you have to see. This is why why God liked David. Because David was a man of faith. He understood who was God and who wasn't. He understood he wasn't. He understood he didn't achieve what he did because of who he was. It's because of God's anointing is what he did. And so he takes off. In a sense, we see this picture in the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, it shows worship before God. And what do the elders do in worship before God? They take their crowns off and throw them at His feet. See, that's what we see. In other words, their crowns are representative authority. They take their authority off. Hey, we don't have authority except by you. It's recognition of the authority of God. You and I have authority in this earth, and it was given to us. It was not earned. It was an unearned authority. And if we're going to, God gave it to us, and in respect and honor to Him, we come before God, we should take the crowns off. And we should present ourselves before God from the basis of God. I'm allowed to come here and ask because you said I can. I'm in your presence. Because you have blessed me. I'm here. This is all faith. I'm not here. This is not a show. This is not a show off. It's not trying to get God to... Well, if I come in and I follow the law, I do all the ritual things right. You can do all the things in the word right, but with the wrong attitude, and it produces nothing. So we come before God on the basis of God. You're great, you're wonderful, you're good. I couldn't have anything if it wouldn't be for you. Thanks. I just appreciate I'm here. You said I could come and ask, and I'm here asking because you said I could. And I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate that. I'm not here. Sure, I have authority it's given to me. I'm not denying that. What religion done is taken my actions in the prayer room or in the prayer closet, the place that I worship God, and they've carried it out over to here, out into the physical realm, and then they turn around, oh, we're supposed to be humble and, not have a lot and do all that. They do all that crazy stuff. See, they try to take what is spiritual, drag it over into the flesh, and what it becomes? Nothing but religion. We don't do that. You act in faith before God. We'll find this as we go on in this teaching. You'll find in David about how to act in faith in the presence of God and what to do. And why prayers have not been answered. Why God doesn't do things. Because we don't act right in God's presence. We don't say the right things. When it's time to be bold, we're not bold. When it's time to be humble, we're bold. we got it all messed up. Because the church, really sort of does things as religion has presented it. So... when I see David here, I believe this is a wonderful attitude that he has. He's not exalting himself at all. God is totally the one being exalted in this thing. And that's the way we should do it. In our praise and worship, God should be exalted. Nobody else should be exalted. That's why we need to be careful today in worship, because sometimes I see, worship becomes performances in churches where it's more the leaders and the singers and the music that it is God. They become performances. That's not what it is. I tell you what, I'd never applaud people You worshiping God? I never applaud somebody. Are we worshiping God or are we worshiping people? I don't care about their performance. We're worshiping God. You got your ability before God. See, like David. David ain't out there to act in applause. He's not trying to show everybody he's the king. This is about God. When we come, we worship, it should be about God. It shouldn't be about performances of people. We should not be in the business of recognizing people. At church, when we come to worship, it should be, we're recognizing God. That's what we're doing. We're honoring God. It ain't about honoring people. We may all have gifts, and you know, a person may have a gift and God uses it, but they wouldn't be doing what they're doing if it wouldn't be God. So who should we applaud when it's good? Well, let's do what the Bible says, lift holy hands, give thanks unto His name. You know, we should be praising God. You know, because we don't want to take, and this is what people do. Today, it's become performance. It's like the world does, you know. They go to the concert and, woo, this person thinks, oh, aren't they something? Is that a place? I've been in Christian concerts and it's more been about the people on the stage than it's been about God. I've been in churches. It's been more about the performance of the people than it's been about God. this pastor from when we were up at there in New York, and the pastor there from Canada, Dr. Jay, said, he said, I tell the people, he said, don't come to the door of the church when I leave and tell me what a good sermon it is. He said, I don't want to hear it. He said it wasn't his sermon anyhow. He said, it wasn't his. He said, God gave it to him. He said, I'm more interested. He said, come and tell me later. He said, when you went and practiced it, and you're doing it. But there's one thing as too as he said it. You know, don't pump up people's egos. You got to be very careful. Nothing about thanking somebody for something, but we need to be careful. There's a lot of ministers got into error because people did it. People did it by keep exalting them and exalting them and exalting them. To men, after a while, man, they think they're the next best thing to slice bread, you know. But people did it to them. People kept running and running and running. Instead of people thanking God, people worship the man. They begin to worship the person. They begin they think it's the person. It's not the person, it's God. If the guy got a message from heaven, he ain't great. It's the message is great. And who gave the message? Did it come from God? Or if he did it and it's his message, give him the glory. But don't try to tie it to God if you believe it was he was the guy that was great. So we got to get this stuff cleared up, get it right, get some things correct. The church is really messed up in these areas. But we want to go on to find out with David here in verse 20 of 2 Samuel. We have here, it says, then David returned to bless his household. So David did all this. So David now returns to bless his household. And Michal, they said, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his household to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. You see, but what he says here, this was about him being humble in his... I'm not out here. This wasn't me out here. This wasn't about me being king. See, we can see where her attitude is, you know. Her attitude about her position as a wife of David. This is all about her being in a big spot. This wasn't about this. She felt shamed her. Ha! She got the attitude of her daddy. Her daddy's attitude, which killed him and which he lost. And David really is correcting her on this. David's basically telling her, this is the same junk. See what you're doing? This is the same junk your daddy did. This is why he and you are in the position that you are. It is because of what you've done. It goes on to say that he said, as for the maidservants of whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor. It says, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. there would be nothing more shameful than a king's wife not to have children. There was nothing, them dying would have been better for them, they would have thought, than to live and not have children. That was, that was the most shameful thing. Now, I don't know if from that day on, maybe David never laid with her again. I don't know. Or God, could a judgment, from a judgment standpoint, she never had children. But she died not having kings. And for a barren queen, that's a terrible, terrible, awful, awful thing. King's wife not having children, not having offspring. And so it was really a disgrace to her. And really, she brought it upon herself. She brought these things upon herself. And you can see why. So, her dignity kept her from humbling herself before God. This is one thing that we need to be careful spiritually, is also with ourselves. Our church world sets a standard. This is one of the things I saw happen. When I first came into the kingdom, the Spirit-filled church, during the charismatic renewal and stuff, was very... wasn't really worried or concerned about what other people thought or what the rest of the church world, even what the world thought. I mean, you'd go on TV at that time, any Christian, Spirit-filled, they would talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in other tongues. That was open. Speaking in tongues and things like that, services and stuff, was just open. And I saw what began to happen. As the ministries began to grow and as it spread and more prosperity came, then they became to follow the prosperity, and people started getting big names, and then all of a sudden, now we're dignified. And so now, today, most fair Spirit-filled churches, the big ones, are all accepted even by the world. I mean, the world will accept them. But they have set their standards on the world. We don't do things because, we aren't going to have tongues. We're not going to mention about sin. We aren't going to openly speak about certain things. I mean, back at that time, stuff was openly spoken about. Stuff was openly said about from the Bible. There was no shame. And so we see a lot of the big ministry today has brought the disgrace on the church because of what they have done. They won't talk about stuff. They'll no longer do it. They won't talk about tongues. They won't talk about these things. They won't say this stuff. They don't want these things in there. Why? Because we have a status. Just like here in town, when a pastor tells his people, he's not going to talk, he's not going to teach and stuff on tongues because it's controversial. You're right. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to be controversial. Because you ain't going to be going the same way that everybody else. You're not going to talk what everybody else talks. You're not going to agree with what everybody else agrees with. You're going to be walking cross grain. I mean, just to think about Jesus. Jesus stepped into a society of the word people of the day with the Pharisees. They were the sticklers for the word. And man, they were on top of the list for killing him. And today, a lot of the word, so-called word people want to kill you. If you get out preaching the true word, they don't like it. Randall Greer, he gets a lot of persecution from Spirit-filled people and so-called word people. He gets lots of persecution because he talks the word. They don't like it. Keep it calm. Keep it cool. We want the checks flowing. We want the world liking us. We don't want any problems, I want to be the guy with the big jet and the big church. I want to be that. That's more important. That doesn't mean that everybody out here has got a jet or got a big church. But I tell you, a lot of them, I wouldn't want their ministries because it ain't God. It's their ministry. It's what they've designed. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say, the Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor and vain it, they build it. He said, the Bible don't say they won't build it. He said, they'll build it, but it ain't God. So we need to understand that. God, here we see David. David was humbling himself before God. That was his whole intent of David's heart. He's not exalting himself or who he was. In worship to God, And we need to, you know, from the standpoint, we're all children of God, but in a sense still, when we worship God, we should worship God from the standpoint as our hearts are there to serve Him and what He wants and what He wants to do. That's, we should have that attitude. Of no matter what position we stand in, nobody stands in a better position. There's nobody who has gotten anything from God because of their greatness or their great achievements. Now, God rewards us and does things because we walk right. The Scripture tells us that. In other words, things, places we can achieve by walking right. But understand it. We don't get the achievement because of our perfection. I'm amazed at some of the things the Lord has spoken to me about because, I mean, I know my own weaknesses and my own things, yet God doesn't view me in that light. God doesn't view, He views me in the light of the things about what I'm doing right and where I'm walking, and He'll talk to me about those things. And He doesn't look, you know, God isn't under, well, you know, you're a little weak in this area, so we ain't going to bless you because you made a mistake over here on this. So I know this. God blesses me because He does. He wants to do it. It's not based on my performance. Because there's, God is interested in your performance of faith, not in your physical performance. It's your performance of faith. I don't care how many wonderful good things you do naturally. That isn't what gets you blessed and the blessing flows in your life. It's what you walk by faith. It's what you do trusting Him in it is what pleases Him. Because we find God blesses David immensely, and we'll find out as we go on. You know, David messed up in things. David didn't do things right. But yet God blessed him because David was a man of faith. He walked by faith. He missed the mark, but he was a man who walked by faith. He knew how to do that. And we need to do that also as be a people who walk by faith. Now, in the 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, I want to look at something here because it starts out really as David has taken over king. He's established himself. The city of David now is the king, and he's brought he has a house that's built for him. He has the tabernacle of God. And it starts off and it says this, "Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" It says, so we need this. So David said, look, I'm living up here. He has this nice house he's built. David's living in a nice place. He's living in this nice place. David has really prospered. David has really done well. God's established him, you know, in the kingship. The enemies of Israel are subdued. You know, it doesn't mean David doesn't fight any more wars. He does fight more wars, but really, everybody's subdued to him. Nobody can lick the guy, you know. And so God's done all these things. God's done all this. And David, now this is an interesting thing because David looks at this. David is sitting in his nice home. David's sitting in his nice place. And David, and we're going to find out, God didn't say anything to him about this. This is an amazing thing. And here's a real spiritual principle you can learn and we'll go into. David is just sitting looking at the fact, here I live in this nice house. God's down there in a tent. The presence of God in that ark. That's where the presence of God is. God presents himself into the earth to his covenant people at the ark. That's where we go. The presence of God is there. That's where the priest hears from God. The priest goes, puts on his ephod, goes down. God reveals himself to the priest through that. This is the stuff that goes. So David makes mention of that. So David makes mention to this to Nathan the prophet. Now we talked that we had Nathan, remember Nathan the prophet back some time ago had told David where he was supposed to go to and stuff. So the prophets, lots of times in the Old Testament, you look to God, the prophet, for direction. We don't do that in the New Testament. Very seldom will you ever have a prophet speaks to an individual today who is telling something to somebody they didn't know specifically. Now, I'm talking about personal direction. I'm not talking about somebody might tell you a revelation. A prophet might give you a revelation from the Bible that you didn't know before was in there, but show it to you. But I'm talking about a personal revelation, personal direction for your life. It's one of the things I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I found out it's true. He said the prophet's ministry is not to direct people's life. He said, mostly God uses me, he said, from the area to confirm to people what God is speaking to them. In other words, things that you already know. things that you've already, you know, that's one thing is why I've gone, in, like with Randall Greer. There's a lot of things God's been talking to me. And Randall Greer has ministered and laid hands on me to things that I knew God was dealing with me on. And spoke to me about those things that God was telling me. So it wasn't a fact of I'm going up there and he's telling me something I don't know. See, why you have the Holy Spirit in you too. And see, ministry gifts are to teach you and to train you, develop you, just like the Lord told me. He said, I want you to teach the people so they can know me like you do. See, it's not so I can know more than everybody else and I can tell everybody and they have to come to me to find out. That's not what ministry is about, yet that's what much of the ministry is about today. This guy that's way up there and people come and we want to find out, we got to go to him, to God. That's why people run to people to pray for me. Because they know God. I got to get to them. He said, no, I want the people to know God like you do. Why? So they'll go to me. See, God wants people to go to him. He wants you to know that you're as open to come to him to whatever your need is. Is anybody. There's nobody has a better, you know, opportunity or has better privilege to go before God to ask. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Pretty good. I mean, he said, whatever you ask, and you can go. See, you don't have to have somebody. It's fine to get somebody to agree, but the church has not risen from the babyhood stage. They're always looking for somebody else to take them to a place they don't believe they can go, or a place they don't believe they can believe. And they can. Is the getting sick. Just because God uses somebody in a more dynamic way than somebody else, that does not mean that person has a closer walk with God, can know God better or anything. That's not why. I got to know God, a young Christian, in my bedroom. You know, just spending time. I go to my bedroom and spend time with God and take a Bible in and listen and read, and God would speak to me and reveal himself to me. I didn't get to know God because, you know, I'm in the ministry. That isn't... That's why a lot of people never get into ministry, because they never really get to know God, so they don't ever get into ministry. I'm serious. That's exactly why it happens. You get to the place with God where he wants you in his perfect will by getting to know him. You don't get into the ministry and then get to know God. That's a terrible thing to do. You're going to meanwhile have misled a lot of people on a lot of stuff. Boy, ain't that happening. People have gotten misled a bunch. People didn't know God. You get to know God. That's what you do first. You get to know God. Hallelujah. That means you don't get to know everything about him. But you should have a good basic knowing of God. You know, a good development in the area of knowing him. So anyhow, he says this to Nathan. So Nathan goes along. Now Nathan is just going generally from the standpoint. In other words, David, you know, God's with you in that stuff. So go ahead, follow. And this is what he says. Follow what's in your heart to do. He didn't say, you know, just do what seems well to you. He said, if your heart is moving you in this direction, go ahead. Here's a good principle to find out about yes or no, because we're going to find out David is going to move in that direction, but you find out David's not the one to build the ark. Yet it is in build the temple. Yet it is in David's heart to do it. Because something's in your heart to do it does not mean that you're supposed to do it. You might have a sense of what is supposed to be done. That's why you want to find out. You want to find out. This is why you take time to pray to find out, God, do you want me to move in this direction? But here's an important thing. Here's to learn how to be led by the Spirit. Learn this. Sometimes God will not give you, you can pray night and day, you can fast and do whatever you want. Sometimes God will not talk to you about it till you take a step in the direction. You say, well, why is that? I don't know. But see, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not supposed to have to sit around all the time and have to hear something said specifically by God. I need to start to walk. Something here he said, now look, it's if in your heart you head that direction. So he began to take a step in that direction. So we want to understand this. God has a presence in this earth, and he has his presence here. David is interested in building this tabernacle or this place. David wants to build a building that God dwells in here in the earth. Now just think about it, because we go over to the spiritual side of this. See, God has always wanted a building in the earth, but it wasn't the temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that? Now, God had them build the temple there, but that temple was a type and shadow. What God was really looking for, and the Bible tells us, is the fact God wanted to live in men. Men be the temple of God. That's what it was about. It was people being the temple of God. Is one of the things, if you would have went and seen the tent, now have you ever sat and read through, I'm sure you've read through the scriptures about what the tabernacle looked like in the inside. You know, that movable tent that they had, the tabernacle thing that they had, was quite a lavish thing, you know. That stuff, everything made of gold, all this thing that they moved around. I mean, this thing was quite something. And then when they built the temple, it was hugely elaborate. That temple, that building, was a representation of the human being, the born-again believer with God living in him. The Bible says this in the New Testament, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says the Spirit of God, it's living in you. You are. Now, that building is a representation of the human body. Was it supposed to be run down? Was it supposed to be, you know, the doors fallen off of it? Was it supposed to be something that was not dressed well or done well, you know? No. You can look at the temple and you can tell what God expected for the human body. I know by looking at the temple that they built, the type and shadow, I know this, God wants my physical body healed, strong, whole. Well, I know that because I can see it in the temple. I can see it from the shadow. The shadow shows me what God wants us to be. See, and it also gives us this picture. It gives us the picture of the glory of the born-again human spirit. Our new birth, we as believers, our human spirit is more glorious than that temple ever was or ever could be. Our human spirit recreation is greater than anything gold, silver, or anything like that. The real me is more valuable than a million temples. The real temple inside was lined with gold. Every precious thing and stuff. In today's value of the building of the temple, how many billions? It would probably be worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars to build it. What was its representation of? The human spirit. See, when Christians walk around, they don't know if they're supposed to be rich or poor. They don't know if they're supposed to be well or sick. They don't know. They walk and live in it. They don't understand. The humans don't, Christians. We don't look at what... That was a type and shadow of the real. If the shadow is absolutely phenomenally glorious, what do you think the real is supposed to be? Anybody ever talks to you, you're not supposed to be rich and, maybe you're supposed to have $1 million. What are you, $1 million and, you know, hold it. What are we, take physical things and we make them of more value than what we are. Hold it. We are the most glorious thing. God never intended for the church to be run down, beat down. It was not the intent. It was never the intent for God. You can look at the types and shadows and you can go over and look at this. That's why David's living in a physical house. David understands just from him, hold it. We got to do better for God than this in the earth. Now, he's offering a physical building. That's what he is. But understand, the new birth don't exist. What God was looking to the future, and what actually the covenant he makes with David, the covenant that we'll read about that God makes with David, is about to the eventuality of God living in men. And that's God's plan. That's God's purpose. So begin to see yourself. You need to pick yourself up in a different light is how you see yourself. Of who you are as a born-again believer. You know, get out. If you look at yourself intellectually, forget it. Your success to your future is based on how you see you really are in the Spirit. If you view yourself in the position that you're in, you're going to stay in the position you're in. Or you see yourself in the glory of what you really are as a spiritual being. In the spirit, we can change anything in the natural. whatever thing I desire when I pray, believe I receive it and I'll have it. In the spirit realm, I can bring into existence anything that I need, anything that I desire. I can bring it into existence into this realm. James said, if I can control my mouth, I can control my whole body. So in other words, what I'm asking for, what I'm speaking, I can bring my body under full control. Sickness and disease is about my control, and it's the control of my tongue. It's not about God trying to heal me. God's already healed me. It's me talking my body into it. It's me speaking what God has said rather than speaking what's going on in the world that I see intellectually and all this kind of stuff, is talking concerning my body. In other words, changing things about it. You know, people want to get out from the underweight. Christians, you know, have habits and stuff they want to break. Begin to talk right. You can bring the flesh under control so it don't do some things. Begin to speak right. Why? The inner man, speak out of the heart. If I say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in my heart. Don't doubt in the inner man. Don't doubt in this glorious being. This glorious being, if I will say what this inner man wants to say, this glorious, you know, wonderful thing that I've been created, I am, if I will let it speak instead of letting my flesh and my intellect do the speaking, I can change anything. Let it bring things to pass. Let it begin to say stuff. Let the inner man instead of the outer man. Don't go by feelings. Don't go, you can't, well, your feelings are, you can't, you know, well, I feel this or I feel that. Don't matter what I feel. It don't matter. My inner man is not based anything upon feeling. He is based upon factual truth of God. That's what he's based upon. If I operate in feeling, I can't cooperate with him because he can't cooperate with that because he don't have feelings. He ain't walking by feelings. He's there, what are you talking about? This is what's true and you're talking about how you feel. But this is what's true. Yeah, but I feel. Yeah, but this is what's true. Yeah, but I feel. Yeah, but I see this. Yeah. That's not what I see. I see what the promise says. The promise says, the inner man's going, I see what the promise says. The promise says this. The outer man's saying, well, but I see this. The inner man's saying, yeah, but the Word of God says this. That's what's true. This is what's right. You see what can be changed. I see what is. See the difference? The glory, this inner man is glorious. He has been created with the very life of God. You are really the very life of God. That's what you've been created in the image of. Now, the presence of God lives in your spirit. The presence of God. Now look, the presence of God could not live in your body if you didn't have a born-again spirit. It couldn't do it. Or it would have done it under the old covenant. Your spirit is so glorious that God can live in it. Your spirit is so glorious, God can live in it. Because why? God can't live in something that ain't glorious. He ain't living in it. It has to be glorious. The church has marveled at the temple that Solomon built. The church gets all excited about over in Israel because the groups are getting prepared to build a temple. They're getting wow. The only thing that means to me is Jesus is almost here. Glory to God. But I ain't going to worship. If they build the temple, it ain't going there. Oh, I'll tell you, you'll have Christians will run in droves. Christians will run in droves to go to get in the presence of God. I'll guarantee it. Loads of them will. By the millions and millions will run there. Out of the United States, they won't get planes out of here fast enough. And the preachers won't get out of here fast enough to get over there. Hallelujah! You're the temple of God. You're the most glorious thing. The church is the most glorious thing. That's why the church, the New Jerusalem, is a special city built for the church. And that city is the city where God dwells. God lives in that city. The church is the most glorious thing. The church is designed to live in the presence of God, not live around it where it's shut up behind some curtain somewhere where you can't get into it. Hallelujah. So we need to see ourselves in the light of this. David got this thing about building this. And let me just, I'll go over this part and we'll come back to it next week. But it says, listen what, so God speaks to Nathan, and I want to read this because after Nathan told David to go ahead, David, you go ahead, head in that direction. God's with you, in other words. And so then God speaks to Nathan. Now understand this, God didn't tell this to David. God's, and here's what you need to understand. God didn't say this to David. God spoke this to Nathan. So David has to believe when Nathan tells him this that it's the word of the Lord. Is this God or not? Is this God or not? You see, these people today, people have prophecies said over them, and most of them never come true. And it isn't because it wasn't said from God. It's because people never find out if it's true or right. And they're just, well, if it's God, it'll happen. If it wasn't God, it won't. No, it won't. You have to respond to God's word by faith, whether it's written in the Bible or somebody prophesied it. It ain't going to just happen. It won't just happen. You have to respond to it. Now, it says here, verse 4, but it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherefore I have moved about with all the children of Israel. Have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Here is an important spiritual thing you need to understand. If you're going to learn to be led by the Spirit of God and walk in things. Because you need to understand, especially if David, God asked the question, have I ever asked anybody to do this? You need to understand, God hadn't spoken to David about building a house. God hadn't spoken to anybody. He said, have I ever asked anybody to do this? God never spoke to an individual. How did David know God wanted to do this? Spirit beings, if you listen, even as a sinner, sinners pick up things in the spirit all the time. Christians, we should be picking up more in the spirit. A lot more. There's a lot of things there's a lot of things that I know that God has never told me. I know it just because I'm a spirit being. I've sensed it in the realm of the spirit. I've come in contact with it. You're a spirit being. There's things going on in the spirit realm. You can know about things going. You don't need to have God tell you everything. You get over in the realm of the spirit, you'll pick things up. Lots of times unsaved people have intuitions all the time. They call it intuition, and really, it's a spiritual intuition. They get intuitions about things. Turn out to be right. People have done it all the time. People do get intuitions. God ain't telling a person. They just sense it and pick it up. There's sometimes things about danger and stuff. Your spirit, your human spirit knows that if you're in danger. Your human spirit will know it if you'll listen to it. They'll know if something, you know, many times people say, well, yeah, I went and did this, and I didn't feel right about it, but I went, well, what was it? They'll say, well, God was trying to tell me. No, He wasn't. Your spirit was just picking up. Your spirit was picking up that something was wrong. Your spirit is eternal. It knows things, and it knows the outcome of things. You want to listen to your inner man, because in the realm of the spirit, it picks things up. It knows what's going on. It knows things that are happening. Not because God's specifically telling it. Here David picks something up in the spirit. God said, I've never asked anybody to do this. Have I ever asked anyone to do this thing? He said, no. Well, I'm going to stop here because we want to go on next week. What he goes on. He goes on to continue to talk about this. But I want you to get a hold of this fact. David picks this thing up in the spirit. And this is the plan of God. This was God's plan. And God begins to speak to David about things of what he's establishing with David. And why? Because David's being keen to spiritual things rather than just physical things. David is being keen to things. It wasn't natural that David... Naturally, this is what religion does. God wanted a tent, let it alone. You see, you know, it might do some teaching sometime. You know, Jesus went up on the mountain and took Peter and John, James and John with him. And he was up there glorified. And Moses and Elijah appeared to him up there with Jesus on the mountain. And Peter did something, and Peter said something, and you know, I hear people then knock Peter about it. But Peter just acted in the way that religion generally acts, and he acted toward it. Let's build a tabernacle here, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Jesus, and let's make it. And really, in a sense, in other words, a tabernacle was a place, in other words, this is a place where we come and worship. Let's do this thing here. And the church has done that. God brings a revelation along. One of the big failures of the charismatic renewal was because people built tabernacles to their what they learned, and they just stayed at that tabernacle and they didn't go on, and today that tabernacle has collapsed. God never, that's how religion, that's how, you know, we come along, God gave a revelation, we started a denomination. We started a denomination based on that revelation. And when God wants to reveal something beyond that revelation, we don't want it. Then you get the same crew comes along and says, they were crazy, they stayed, but what they do is they go on and they leave, say their revelation was no good, because we got a new one. Well, you ain't going nowhere unless you take revelation as something that's built. If you don't take the revelation that has come before and you go try to build something on a revelation and it isn't on the foundation of the revelation before, it's going to fall down. See, man's always trying to do things. See, David came along and David saw. Now, understand, what God required for worship by the Jew did not change because it went to a new building. It was done to get more glorious, and it did get more glorious. Going to the new, going into a further revelation of God, it was to get better, but it didn't leave the old worship behind, because that was something else. That's like, we can't just drop the Old Testament and leave it behind, because there's things that the Bible tells us that were written in there for us to learn and understand that will help us to go on into what God wants us to do under our covenant. Now, we don't worship like they do because why? Our covenant, Jesus Christ, instructed us not to worship in the same way. Now, because we can't. Because we're not going to do physical worship anymore. We're going to do spiritual worship. We're going to worship God from the inner man, not from the outer man. God will bless our outer man. God will do all kinds of things for us on the outside. But we don't worship God and serve God by the outer man. We do what we do on the outside because of what's on the inside. That's what we do. So we follow what's on the inside. And so he told him here, he said, I never ask anybody to do it. David was picking up on the plan of God. God hadn't told him. He said, here we find. Didn't God say? Did I ever ask anybody to do this? He said, I've never told anybody that I've told the shepherd Israel. Is David a shepherd of Israel? He's saying, look, I didn't ever say this to David. I never told anybody to do this. Wow, this guy picked it up. He picked it up. And you can pick things up too. Learn to listen on the inside. Many times I found this out. I learned some things the hard way. I felt there was things that I just, intuitions that I had. And I bypassed them. And there's some of them, sometimes I learned over time, is followed. I've learned to follow more intuitions than I do bypass. But I bypass many things. And sometimes I really saw that I really missed blessings if I would have turned around and followed the intuition that I had learned. You know, let me say this to you in closing about doing this. One of the big things that we need to get a hold of is not being afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to miss it. Don't be afraid to follow an intuition, what you sense. And if it turns out wrong, then just say, well, Lord's wrong. I missed that. Go just back in, you know. But don't be afraid to miss it. That's why many people never grow spiritually, because they're afraid if they step out, they're going to miss it. It's like God's going to thump you on the head. No, we're learning. Nobody's arrived at the top. Sometimes we miss it, but I learn when I miss it. God, hey, I blew it. Okay, Lord, back on track. That wasn't you on that one. But I found out this today. I hit it a lot more than I miss it. I would have never gotten there if I would have had a fear about missing it. You'll never get there. You know, it's just like a child. You ever watch a child doing stuff? My God, they'll do 27 times try to do a thing and never don't get it right. You know, and they just get frustrated as crazy. And do we walk over and slap them on the head? Don't try it till you can do it right. Do we tell them that? No. But Christianity, most Christians, that's their believing. That's their faith toward God. They're afraid if I step out, I might make a mistake. And I'm just going to tell you, next year, you won't even be in the same spot you have. You're going to be further back. This is one thing I learned about the kingdom. You either move ahead or you move back. Nobody ever sits still on the spot that they're on. You can't do it. It never happens. You're either moving forward or backward. But you're moving. There's no group that ever turned around and got revelation from God and parked on that revelation who you go 50 years down the road is at the same place with God. They're always declined. They're always not even practicing the revelation they got. That's what leads you to. You can't do it. Why? You know, our spirit, our inner man's a living thing. We're following a living God. We aren't following a God of the past. We're following a God of now. A God of right now. Every day, God's right now. In the past, He may have done things and worked with people. We learn it, but He's a God of right now. And always live like it. Live like He's a God. He shows us the future, but He's God right. He's a God of right now. Right now, that life is working. Right now, God responds to me. Right now. And live like that. Live like it's now. Don't live like it's sometime or some other. Live like now. We look to the future. God shows us things of our future. We're believing and working toward things that have to do with our future. But it's all out of right now. And live like that with God. Don't be afraid to miss it. God ain't going to smack you over the head because you missed something. Because my words, He'd be so busy smacking people, He wouldn't have time to do much of anything else. I don't, you know, He definitely had to be a big God to get anything else done because He'd be slamming us all the time. But He doesn't view us the way but the time that we do. And we try to see ourselves from a perfection that is physical. No one is physically or in the physical realm. Nobody walks perfectly. There has never been, has never happened other than with Jesus Christ alone. It's the only one that ever did it. Nobody has done it since then. No one. It's not about it. It's about your perfection. Is about following and walking with God by faith. You walking in the light of what you got, not the light of what you don't have or what you don't know. You're perfect before God because you live by what you know. And you don't have to be afraid to make it. Because why? I can, by faith, ask God to forgive me. I can, by faith, and that's what pleases Him. You miss it, you operate by faith. You jump over, get right into the faith thing. That's what makes God happy. Is you say, Lord, yeah, I blew it. Okay, we're going to get back on track again here. We're going back. That's what pleases God. Doesn't please God because you do everything right. Most people are trying to do everything right, do very little for God. They do almost nothing for God because of a fear out of doing something wrong. So you don't do nothing. You know, it's like Mike on Sunday talking about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth struck out a bunch, but I'll tell you what, he bought a lot of runs in. Won a lot of games for the New York Yankees. If he would have been like the other guys, you know, hey, you know, I get a hit once in a while, you know what I'm saying? You don't get to be the champ being afraid to swing. That's what our God's like. God's looking for champions. Take a swing. You miss it, so what? Pick the bat up again and swing. God wants you to hit some home runs. But we ain't going to hit any home runs if we don't swing. So don't be afraid to miss it. Don't be one of those people. I see so much in the church world where people are afraid they're going to do wrong. And they don't realize by that they're doing wrong. By that they're doing wrong. Don't be afraid. God says, if God be for you, who could be against you? So, you know, He's going to help you along. And sometimes, we're not supposed, like people say, God's intent is we're not supposed to be getting our learning by making mistakes. But I've learned some great things by mistakes I've made. I've learned not to do some of the dumb stuff I've done, but didn't seem dumb to me at the time. It seemed like but, you know, sometimes it was really because the learning process of dealing with your mistake really brought you into some good wisdom on some things. You know, It's just like an inventor. He works at many different things and that stuff. And till he comes through the process, till he invents whatever it is that he's inventing. But all the things that he learns along the way, all kinds of stuff that he learns. How many times have you heard a person try to invent a certain object or a certain thing to do a certain, but during their time in investigation, they found a new invention for another thing? They weren't searching for that, but that came out of the wisdom of the search. So don't be afraid to make a mistake. You may, in those mistakes and what you have learned from them and what you go on through that, all of that can be a really building process in your life. God can bring some real revelation to you. Don't go try to miss it. Thinking, whoa, yeah, you know, that's good. But don't be afraid to step out on what you get a sense that your inner man's leading you to. Don't be afraid to do that. Because I'll guarantee you're going to be shocked of how many times you've been right about it. How many times that you're right about it. Because you'll find out, man, I've been bypassing this stuff. And you know what? I'm finding, yeah, this is so, and this is right. So God ain't going to thump you. He's going to help you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just want to say thank you today for revealing these things to us. Father, I thank you because truly you are taking us to a higher level, to a higher place, and a higher walk. You have such a love for us. And Father, you're not against us, you're for us. And Lord God, no matter how if we've missed it or anything, I want to thank you, Father God, your great love and mercy is revealed to us in Christ Jesus. We're the church. And truly, Lord God, we are the glorious church. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, Father, I know that if you opened up our eyes and we could see what we really are like as a born-again Christian, what the real human spirit is really like, the glory that has been created in us. Father God, I'm sure we would just be totally astounded. But Lord God, I thank you that through the words you're revealing these things to us, showing us these things of the glory. Lord God, that we've been created in the glory that we've been prepared for. And we thank you, Father God, that revelation is going to become real to us, Father God, so we can walk on a greater level, higher level, so we'll step into a greater place of faith, hallelujah, to have confidence in you, Father God. We want Jesus glorified and magnified. We thank you for all that you'll do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.